Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, the city of Dallas finally has itself a brand new city manager, and they didn't have to look far.
And she is Kim Tolbert, who is serving as interim city manager now. She beat out two other candidates, and Councilman Adam Bazaldua says that's because they didn't have to look too far to find the right choice for the job.
What we did was an exhaustive search of talent across this country, and what we ended up with was something I already knew, and that's that we already have the best.
But not everyone around the horseshoe was convinced. Councilwoman Kara Mendelson says the city is facing several issues that require a fresh set of eyes.
The next city manager must embrace a new direction, bringing accountability to City Hall, a culture of ethical behavior and decisions, and ensure that we prioritize the issues that matter the most to our residents.
Tolbert replaces T.C. Broadnax, who left for the same position in Austin. From the 24-hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
And taxes set to spend over $330 billion over the next 2 years. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick rolling out the Senate's proposed 2026-2027 budget, calling it a conservative priority list. The top priorities including $32 billion in property tax relief and $6.5 billion for border security.
That's one area where I thought with Donald Trump now in the White House, we might have seen a slight reduction in the approximately $2 to $3 billion they've been spending annually.
That is Rice University political scientist Mark Jones. Senate Bill 1 also includes $5.3 billion in additional public school funding and $1 billion for the Governor Abbott's school voucher program.
State Rep wants Texas to ban abortion pills.
Looks like we're in for another fiery round of political face-offs in Austin. Texas Republicans are cooking up a plan to ban abortion-inducing pills in their latest legislative session. Under current state law, abortion is a no-go unless it's a life or death situation for the mother. With other states sending these pills into Texas like secret care packages, Representative Steve Toth's proposed bill could shut that down. From the 24-hour news center, George Alfredas, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Fort Worth ISD is launching a new plan to try to help kids meet reading standards. Back in 2017, they announced a goal of getting 100% of students reading at grade level by this year, but interim superintendent Karen Molinar just said that 43% of them are actually doing it.
Our district has to have that foundation in place to move forward in the areas of math, science, and social studies as well. We're coming out of the gate with a very detailed plan that will roll out pre-K through 12.
Now, she says they'll give parents regular updates on their kids' progress. They're going to set more specific goals and put successful strategies from high-performing schools to work at campuses that are doing worse. They say just one in three Hispanics and one in five Black kids, third graders, can read at grade level.
For all the things that Donald Trump did on the first day of his second term in office, all those executive orders, the one thing that didn't get done was to address the future of TikTok in the U.S. They shut it down for about 12 hours on Sunday.
Lots of moaning and groaning from the youngsters out there.
So then they brought it back up. Trump agreed to a 75-day extension to find a new buyer. But is that possible? The Chinese own it. What if they don't want to sell it? And even if they did, who's got the money to buy it? Well, Elon Musk, for one, and Larry Ellison. They are, respectively, the world's wealthiest and third wealthiest people.
So they can get some coin together.
And they are worth a combined $600 billion.
I think that could cover the cost.
And Ellison, for his part, he was at a news conference yesterday during which Trump discussed TikTok.
So the deal I'm thinking about, Larry, let's negotiate in front of the media. The deal, I think, is this. And I've met with owners of TikTok, the big owners. It's worthless if it doesn't get a permit. It's not like, oh, you can take the U.S. The whole thing is worthless. With a permit, it's worth like $1 trillion. So what I'm thinking about saying to somebody is buy it. and give half to the United States of America, half, and we'll give you the permit. And they'll have a great partner, the United States. And they'll have something that's actually more valuable because they have the ultimate partner, and the United States will make it very worthwhile for them in terms of the permits and everything else. But so think of it. You have an asset that has no value or has $1 trillion value. It all depends on whether or not the United States gives the permit. So what I'm saying is let the United States give the permit, and the United States should get half. Sounds reasonable. What do you think?
Sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President.
Sounds like I don't think he understood it.
All right. Just give him half. TikTok is going to be an interesting thing, though. And I think eventually it's going to work itself out. It's going to be fine, but...
Thing is, though, with social media, as popular as it is, that can be a risky proposition, investing in that. Remember, Elon Musk paid $44 billion for Twitter, which he renamed X, of course. That was, two and a half years ago. And while we don't know for sure, because it is now a private company, one recent estimate by Fidelity Investments says that it has lost 80% of its value since that sale. They base that on the value of their shares in the company.
Well, I'll tell you this.
It's not a given that you're going to make money if you buy something like this.
If I had to invest at their zeniths, Twitter, X versus TikTok, I'm taking TikTok 100% of the time. There is a lot of value there, especially when you talk about the advertisers and the amount of users. 170 million. There are not nearly as many users on Twitter or X at any point than there was at TikTok.
And most importantly, they're young users.
Absolutely. And they'll spend time on it. That's the key. They give you their information. So TikTok, whoever's investing in that, you're probably going to get your investment back, you would think.
So Larry Ellison, Elon Musk, and speaking of these tech moguls, it really was a sight to behold at the inauguration, because you had Elon Musk there, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos, all right there in the front row.
God, that's a hell of a threesome right there.
Bloomberg's Margaret O'Mara discusses the changing relationships between big tech and Washington, and specifically the president.
It remains to be seen how the relationship between tech and the Trump administration will evolve over time. But we have never in American history seen a lineup of business tycoons occupying a place of honor at a presidential inauguration. Silicon Valley has long had ties with Washington in different presidential administrations, but this does feel like uncharted territory.
And how does this translate into the priority list that each of these CEOs may be bringing to the administration? How much does that proximity count?
It counts a lot. And look, we've seen Silicon Valley leaders have very close relationships with the Obama administration, the Clinton administration, with other administrations other than Trump. So this, again, is not entirely unknown, but there are really high stakes. And we see both in on the regulatory side and in the spending and tax policy side. On the regulatory side, the promise to have a light hand on AI regulation, as well as Trump's boosting of crypto, underscored by his and the First Lady's personal involvement and issuance of their own coins in the last couple of days, is something that is a real sea change for the industry. A real difference in attitude than what the Biden administration had approached. And then also, we have the promise of tax policy being corporate friendly generally, and also things like defense contracting, which is, the Defense Department and the National Security Establishment does a lot of business with Silicon Valley companies, and that only seems poised to increase.
So there you go, sitting side by side at the inauguration, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Sundar Pichai, who is the CEO of Google, and then, of course, Elon Musk. Those four men have a combined net worth of $1 trillion combined net worth. And that's not even counting Larry Ellison and the CEOs of Apple and TikTok, because they were also there. You remember in his farewell address, Joe Biden, he says that this is all proof that the U.S. is becoming an oligarchy with all these tech billionaires wielding an enormous amount of power and influence. Although Trump points out that many of them once supported Biden, which is true, and in a way kind of backs up what Biden is saying. These guys are going to throw money at whoever is in power.
That's absolutely the case. And the thing is with Trump and all these guys, whether you like them or not, technology, AI, that stuff, it is the wave of the future. And China is chomping at the bit to get a hold of the latest technology. We have to confront this as a nation. We have to work with these people on defense strategies, on education, on health, all these things. And so if we don't, if we ignore them or tell them, hey, go pound sand, that's not good for anybody. Now, I understand I'm with you and a lot of people. I get concerned about their influence over government. But this is something that's got to happen, guys, especially on the AI front. And these guys are the ones wielding the power.
This exact moment, who is the favorite? Right now, it's the team's offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, who I bet a lot of people couldn't have told you that Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's weird because he was the offensive coordinator, but he didn't call the plays. The play caller was Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, right. Brian Schottenheimer underwent a three-hour-plus interview yesterday out at the Star. He is currently listed at minus 250 by DraftKings. That means you bet 250 and you win 100. That's a pretty solid favorite.
Yep.
Second place right now is Kellen Moore. He's at plus 250, which means you'd bet 100 to win 250. Cliff Kingsbury, one of your favorites. He's third at plus 350, followed by Robert Saleh, Joe Brady, and Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. In case you're wondering, Jason Witten is at the bottom of the list at plus 1400.
I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Witten is on the Cowboys
on the
coaching staff.
Yeah, on the staff.
Not
absolutely
as the head coach.
Right now, though, Schottenheimer is the favorite. Would that be a good thing? Mike Florio and Devin McCourty discussed that yesterday on NBC.
So Schottenheimer and Moore give them something close to Mike McCarthy-style continuity. Same offense, doesn't have to learn a new playbook, just build on what we've been doing and move forward. So Schottenheimer would not be an inspired hire, but right now the fact that the odds are pointed that heavily toward him, man, it tells me somebody is making a pretty good guess here, and they might know something the rest of us don't.
I think the biggest thing is how do the players receive him? If that's the guy that the players in the locker room love and they want to see him, I think especially if there's some connection with the defensive guys as well, then it would make sense. But I think the Cowboys, this whole thing's a circus. Like, what happens here and then, I think there's going to be a huge letdown if Schottenheimer is the head coach from the fan base and people around. Not because he's a bad coach, it's just this whole thing has been hyped up. It's been fueled. I just don't think people expect to see Brian Schottenheimer as the coach, but he's been a coach in the NFL a long time. I've played against him when he was an OC for the Jets and for the Rams and, you know, for the Seattle. So he's done it. He's been with a lot of different players. So no reason he can't be successful, but this won't be popular.
Now, he's not sitting well with some in the fan base. That includes Zach Wolchek at our sister station, 105.3 The Fan, upstairs. He went on this rant.
This just seems like a completely, utterly ridiculous potential hiring, and it makes it very, very difficult. It pretty much you're on the verge of like zero faith as a Cowboy fan. I mean, I'm one that is very usually optimistic. I search for reasons to try and be hopeful. I think at this point, honest to God, the only reason Cowboy fans would gather any hope is if the Jones family sold the team. I really do. They are going ahead right now and putting themselves in a position where they're acting like they don't care about who the head coach is, which is in line with everything you said in the opening segment with Jerry. Because he said, I could get how many? 100, thousands of coaches to come in here and coach football team. You had Jimmy Johnson. Best thing he's ever done was hire Jimmy. Jimmy put together those teams, and since then he's been trying to get the same type of success where he gets the credit, and it's gotten you nowhere. It's now got you the biggest NFC championship drought in the entire conference. It's disgraceful. And he's still going to make his money because schmucks like me that don't love the Cowboys for the Joneses, you love the Cowboys because you grew up going to games with your family members and you fall in love with the sport. And I love the Cowboys because of the Dallas Cowboys, not because of the names on the back of the jerseys or who owns the team. It's because of the team. But unfortunately now, it's just depression. That's what it is being a Cowboy fan. It's utter depression and anger, and where the hell do I go from here? And a hire like this isn't getting your even if it's Kellen Moore, maybe it's not shoddy. And I'm not trying to crap on him. Good dude, family's awesome. They walk by us all the time, Brian, in post games.
Yeah.
But this is an utterly crap hiring if that's what you're going to do. It's disgraceful, and it's a slap in the face to your fans. It's like you're doing a bit. Do you give a damn? The answer is no. Right now, you don't. You don't care about winning a championship, and all you care about is printing money.
But right. How do you really feel?
Look, I would say to that is, who is going to be inspiring? There is nobody. Think about who the Cowboys could hire right now out of the coaching candidates that would inspire the fan base. Not really anybody.
There are, like, Deion would generate a lot of buzz.
For me.
But does that translate into inspiring?
Yeah, he would create that buzz, but for me that would be a sign that Jerry's blowing the team up.
It's a rebuild.
The problem is, I hate to say this, but the problem is at quarterback. You get a new quarterback, suddenly you might have some buzz around here. And it doesn't matter who the coach is.
More important than the owner, more important than the coach.
It's the quarterback.
You got to have it.
It's kind of like the old, what's his name, the economy stupid. It's the quarterback,
it's quarterback stupid. Well,
it really is.
Look at the Patriots. You had Robert Kraft, widely regarded as one of the best owners in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, future Hall of Famer, was the head coach, and Tom Brady. Brady leaves, and it goes to hell.
You have a problem. And it's not that Belichick isn't a great coach. You have to have the quarterback to do what you need him to do.
You got to have the tools.
And you know who was saying the same thing about their owners for years? The Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, the Browns can't do anything. They're terrible. And then they get a guy named Joey B, and suddenly things are looking a lot better over there.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.